I listen to the black guy who tips because Rod and Karen are hot.
Although her informants were begging her not to come, Ida did not immediately dismiss the idea of going back to Memphis, if only to save what she could of the free speech. Every dollar I had in the world was invested in the paper, she recalled, and of late, it had for the first time begun paying for itself. But Ida finally made the decision to remain in New York after learning that black men were organizing to protect her in the event of her return. The men were probably members of the Tennessee Rifles, the group that both Moss and McDowell had belonged to. The militia group had disbanded after his weapons had been confiscated in the wake of the Curve riot, but it may have reassembled to protect Ida. Wells knew that the prospective face-off would mean more bloodshed, more widows and orphans. And though she did not mention it in her writings, Ida must have also been concerned about her sister Lily still in Memphis. Still, in New York on May 27th, Ida learned that Memphis's same leading citizens had entered the vacated offices of the Free Speech, destroyed the type and furnishings, and left a note behind saying that anyone attempting to publish the paper again would be punished by death. What was left was placed in the hands of the sheriff, and the outfit was sold to satisfy creditors. As Ida lamented upon hearing the news, what had taken years to build through numberless sacrifices had been destroyed as if it had never been. But Ida's words long outlived the printing press of the Free Speech. Many black weeklies, including hers, were published on Saturdays, and by the 28th, a number of them had their own response to Ida's editorial. 60 colored men were lynched in as many consecutive days by the white South and a disgrace to this nation, opined the Star of Zion, which urged that blacks continue to leave Memphis. From Chicago, the home of the Haymarket riot, Frederick Douglass, who was visiting there and who had recently resigned his diplomatic post as minister resident and consul general to the Republic of Haiti and charged d'affaires of the Dominican Republic, averred that if the Southern outrages on the colored race continue, the Negro will become a chemist. Other men besides anarchists can be goaded into throwing and the making of bombs. Hey, welcome to the Black Altus podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Saturday.
Hey baby, can you turn me up for some reason?
Turn you up. All right.
Yes, just the sound period. For some reason everybody sound, I mean, because I can hear you, but everybody,
your headphones.
Okay, that's much better, because I'm about to say everybody, you just sound far away, but I hear you. Okay, that's better.
Okay, do we sound low in the chat? Are you guys good on your side?
Probably just
can y'all
me.
Hear me. All right, I think
you
they
know
can
I
hear.
Jacked the sound up the other day.
Yeah, Karen was doing some stuff with a computer and knocked over the okay, they can hear us fine. Okay, yeah, she knocked over some stuff in here, so yeah, it might sound a little different. I tried to do as much as I could, so I guess I could roll that up a little bit. All right, but yeah, so that now I'm all off. The Blackout Tips is the name of the podcast. I'm your host, Rod, and joined as always by my co-host.
Karen, you was about to talk about Ida.
Well, I was going to say, we're live on the Saturday for feedback. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search the Blackout Tips, leave us 5-star reviews. We're going to read the 5-star reviews that you did leave us. I think we got 2 new ones. Maybe even 3. And yeah, we got 3 new ones. We also have, emails, theblackouttips@gmail.com. You can also vote in the polls on our website. You can go to our website and leave comments on each episode. Just go to theblackguywhotips.com. If you want to become premium, go to theblackouttips.com/register and register to become a premium member. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport,
bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme. And that excerpt was from Ida, A Sword Among Lions, written by Paula J. Giddings, one of my favorite books. And yeah, it just made me think about today, you know, like what they were going through then, what we're going through today. And you know, when you see these cities burning, you see that the protests for you know, the protests have spread past Minnesota at this point. Like, you're seeing people Atlanta, Charlotte, all over the place. And I don't know if it's going to stop spreading. You know, I think,
because people are mad, people are angry, people are upset, people have lost their jobs. Like, like, it is a lot of underlying factors. And, you know, this quote unquote illusion, that people had that this shit didn't exist. Basically, white people was like, oh, the Negroes are cool. We actually just got along to get along, truthfully, for a lot of people, they're like, hey, I don't have anything to lose. And I personally think when people don't have anything to lose, they're willing to go to a level that a person who fears something to lose would not go. And that includes the things that are happening right now.
Right. And I think, there's been so many moving narratives about everything. I don't even know what to make of it. There's a lot of, like you said, there's so much anger. And then because I think social media is the place where anger goes and gets magnified even. So yes. It's kind of really, I've really been trying to like avoid the more serious, stuff on there just cause of that. But, I can't really tell what the fuck is. What is real? What agendas are the ones that people are supposed to be having and stuff? People are turning on everyone who has anything to say about any of it. Mm-hmm. You know, last night I saw like Killer Mike and T.I. They were at a press conference with the mayor of Atlanta and stuff and the police chief of Atlanta, basically asking people not to burn down the city. And people turned on them because anyone that's basically, if you're any person who says, hey, please don't destroy the city, don't destroy, you know, your own sections of town and stuff like that, people just turn on you. Like, I guess the only thing you are allowed to say at this point is burn it all to the ground, fuck it, I don't care, it doesn't matter, you know, what it is, who it is, whatever. You know, I try my best not to judge any black people's reactions to the shit because we're in just a fucked up situation. Everyone's upset. There's nothing that people will agree because there's nothing that will make it right. You know, I've seen people say stuff like, you know, oh, y'all voted for a black woman and y'all got Mayor Keisha Bottoms and then Lance Bottoms and she gonna tell y'all to stop rioting. And I'm like, what is a mayor even supposed to say at a time like this? They can't not say anything.
Right.
They can't go on there and say, hey, riot. They can't go on there and say, you know, fuck the police, you know, kill everybody or what. Like, I don't even know what you want them to say. And even crazier is it didn't happen in their town. It's just black people are fed the fuck up, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of this, truthfully, for our quote-unquote generation, a lot of this is boiling over from Trayvon Martin and just a lot of the deaths that we've been seeing over the years, and it's getting to the point to where people are like, okay, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, people that are mayors and governors and senators, it's their job to keep people safe too now. Like, people can't act like that's not realistic. And yeah, it is people that are like, I agree, but I'm not participating and I don't want my shit burnt down. So they, you know, it's a lot of factors other than I'm just fucking mad. And niggas just see red and they don't want to see anything past that.
Well, also I see this, I'm seeing mixed information too. So I'm not even really sure what's happening on the ground because correct, people are saying, well, it's not black people that are doing the stuff where they're attacking police and burning buildings and shit like that. That's white people. They said the same thing in Ferguson, that there were people that infiltrated and started burning shit down to make it look worse. And, you know, there's a Vice article I saw today that was about, it's like inside the movements, at white supremacist movements, to basically start a race war from within these protests. Like, they were planning to go out there and incite violence, to basically give the police a reason to rain down violence on these black protesters and shit. They want to start like a war. They want the police to basically kill these black people and shit. And I don't know. So much is moving at the same time. I don't know how you're supposed to just keep one talking point and be like, this is all that matters. Yeah. You know, burn it down. Don't do it. Do this, do that. And so I just, you know, been kind of thinking about it, you know, historically or whatever. And, you know, yeah, it's the only thing I can say is just, if you put people under this much pressure and strain and oppression, mm-hmm, they're not going to take it forever. Mm-mm. And there's a lot of anger and fear and shit that's coming out, man. And this is what happens when you elect the worst president of all time, the most bigoted, violent president of all time, to office. You know, this is the reaction that white people wanted us to have and wanted us to feel. And you know, I just hope people can be safe out there, man. But you know, I totally understand where people are coming from. I don't have any answers. I don't have any
right.
I refuse to get on our show and do what I'm not knocking these people. It's just not my way. I'm not gonna sit up there and become a fucking instruction guide for white people.
Mm-mm.
I don't like that shit.
That's not my job.
And I know a lot of people, they feel like they need to do that, or they want to say something as black people, so they start turning it into how do we give white people instructions on what to do in this moment. I don't give a fuck about them when it comes to this. You know what I mean? Like, I can't live my life obsessing with these motherfuckers. The whole every day I gotta figure out a way to help them navigate this shit. Like, I'm tired. You know, so I've been avoiding all of that shit because it's too much, man. It's too much effort, it's too much energy. And you know, I've just been trying to distract myself with work and do productive things and enjoy, relax and enjoy myself, you know, with the privilege that I have, you know, be able to at least give myself that type of rest. But at the same time, that's one of the reasons I made our Nerd Off open to everybody, because I know a lot of people need respite from this, you know.
Yes, because it can be a lot, and I've said this before and I will continue to say this: your brain and your mind is not, and your spirit is not designed to consume all the information that social media is throwing at you at one period of time, all at once. You're not designed for that. So. Well,
and they want you to have like a solution. Correct. Or people want to present the solution. There's not one solution to white supremacy. There's too many things, you know what I mean? And right now, like, the other thing I keep seeing is people out here, like, protesting and whatnot, and I'm like, you know, I don't even see people with masks. There's still a fucking pandemic out here.
Correct.
So, in a couple more weeks, now we can see, you know, we were already gonna see hospitals probably get filled with these white people that protested not wearing a mask but didn't show up to none of this. We're probably gonna see these motherfuckers in, you know, in another week or so filling up hospitals, and then you have a wave of fucking black people and shit coming in that won't be able to get hospital beds. Like, this shit is all crazy and fucked up, man. And I don't even have the fucking bandwidth to do, like, and that's the other thing, people are sitting at home online all day. Mm-hmm. And just critiquing, like, every celebrity that does anything, finding the negative to every word that comes out. I saw they tried to turn on Beyonce today, and Mama Tina had to come out and be like, if y'all don't leave my motherfucking baby alone, what is wrong with y'all? Like, she out here trying to help. She wanted people to sign like a petition, and she got 300,000 or 400,000 signatures in an hour, by the way, because she put that video on her Instagram, and people tried to be like, she said people of color and not just black. And I'm like, is this where we at with Beyonce? Y'all, like, you've been in the house too long. Y'all love these celebrities the way that woman that killed Selena loves celebrities. Like, y'all can't wait to just eviscerate these motherfuckers while claiming they don't do enough, or they doing too much, or they need to do more. Like, you know, Beyonce of all people, by the way, who we know got the receipts and does shit, puts it in her music and in her voice and gives money to all these causes. So it's just like, oh, okay, we peaked at too much inside, and then you got people out here in the streets, and you know, I feel like people just don't know the best way to support them. There's all these celebrities bailing out people and stuff like that, and you know, none of this is, you know, gonna solve the fucking problem, you know. So it just sucks. You think about how long we've been having this shit and read that excerpt.
Yeah.
And it's just like, damn, we've been going through this forever. And Frederick Douglass's words are so prophetic, because he's like, if y'all keep doing this, you're gonna make black people the anarchists, you're gonna make us throw the bombs. Like, that's what this is gonna do. And we've been saying that now for over 100 years.
Yeah, and it's also one of the things to where at the end of the day, they want us erased. And because whiteness, the white supremacists can't erase us. Because the thing is, when it comes to white supremacy, anytime they look at any brown people, black people, people of color, they're particularly black Americans, they are reminded of the injustices of slavery. They're reminded of not paying reparations. They're reminded of that. So the goal is to erase anything that reminds you about the sins of this country, and you do it by any means necessary.
Yeah, I mean, they killed MLK. He didn't live to be an old man.
Mm-mm.
You know, like, he spoke that truth and they killed him, man. That's, you know, that's another thing too. I saw, like, I mean, I hate to see our people do it because I'm the only people I really care about, but, like, you know, watching the same people that's been calling Jemele Hill corny and whack for the last couple, you know, weeks or months or whatever, like, now they want to throw her away because they felt she wasn't needed. Now all of a sudden they retweeting everything she say because she's a real one. And it's like, niggas forgot the same thing. You know, y'all gonna do it to Beyonce. We black woman over everything until, you know, we don't, you know, the second that they not producing for us, you know, they can kiss our ass. We moving on, you know. But then, you know, like, when you need them, you know, Tamika Mallory did a speech that's going viral right now. I'm like, I remember when y'all was canceling her. Like, it's crazy, man. Like, you got this workhorse shit, you know, like, you be our workhorse and then shut the fuck up, you know. And I'm like, that's not how any of this fucking works, man. The same Jay-Z, people, you know, shit on what's Jay-Z doing, right? His silence is pretty interesting. The nigga speaks out all the time. He literally is has his Roc Nation suing Mississippi healthcare providers for prisons right fucking now. Like, it's just, I think everyone's so frustrated that it's, they're just hitting at everybody for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they want everyone to do everything all the time right now. They got mad at Killer Mike and T.I. Like, I don't fuck with them really like that at all politically. But at the same time, I do know those two dudes love and care about Atlanta.
Right, they love their
city. They love and care about black people. They might not come to the same conclusions as I do, but at no point was I thinking these sellout motherfuckers telling people not to protest. Like, it's just, people are so mad, man. I don't know.
And that's what it is. You know, when people are mad and they see red, reason and logic leaves. Like, the rage just takes over everything. And when the rage takes over everything, that rage just wants to destroy shit. Like, that's the purpose. You know, that rage is, I want to tear everything around me. I want to burn up everything around me. Consequences be damned. And then guess what? Sooner or later, that rage will come down. And then once that rage come down, you have to look at the damage and the disaster that you have allowed that rage within you to create. And people are going to be hurt and people are going to be devastated. And the thing is, the rage is valid, but it's like this rage was put upon us by somebody else. And the thing is, we want the oppression to stop and everybody is trying to navigate it the best way they know how. You know, that's why as the older I got, the less and less judgmental I am of people and how they deal with this. Some people opt just not to say anything at all. Some people opt to be mad. Some people opt to become activists. Some people opt to donate money. You know, people do what they can and they deal with it the best way they know how. And like you said, with everybody stuck in the house, everybody's criticizing how everybody else is handling it instead of focusing on how are you handling it and what is the best way you're dealing with this mentally and being sure that you're okay and all that stuff. But instead of doing that, people project because right. It's easier to project than to actually do a self check in on yourself, because everybody goes, check on everybody else. No, bitch, check on you. Are you okay? Ask yourself, are you okay? Because you might not be.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to sit at a house and tweet platitudes and burn it all, do this, do that. It's easy to say that shit. You at the house, you don't think you're in the burn it all,
right?
You know this, and if it's, and man, I swear to God, if they find out this shit is white people, then I'm gonna be looking sideways at everybody. Like, so when you was rooting for burn it all, you was really white people came into our communities, burned shit up, fucked with cops, and left us holding the bag. Because when they leave, this is one of the things I talk about when I say I don't ever want to be, I don't like being angry, because your anger can be used against you.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't like to hear that shit, because anger makes people feel righteous, and angry people are self-righteous. So when you tell somebody, like, yo, be careful of being easily moved to anger, the first thing they're gonna do is, guess what, be mad at you. Well, suck my dick, I don't care that you're mad, everybody's mad, you know. But this idea of, like, this anger is, it makes you right. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like, but it also makes you, like, completely oblivious to the gambit that is used against you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain
things, because
you're
not strategic when you're mad.
Yeah, and there's a lot of apparatuses out there now, especially with the internet, that specifically are here to con you while you're mad.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm reading these articles, like, I'm not trying to be conspiratorial or paranoid, these are real people that said these things, white people. If we find out that they're the ones inciting this violence and then leaving black people holding the bag, black areas of town, and we got to deal with these fucking cops and shit, that's not okay. You know, I saw there was a two sisters that got arrested for throwing a Molotov cocktail at four police in New York, and they are from upstate New York, so they not from New York City,
right? And
so they came into New York City to do that. Now, they didn't put their pictures out, so I don't know their race, but if who, so those police that have now had four people fucked up and you know are probably looking for retribution, you just left everyone in that community to deal with what you did.
Yeah, they have like I said, I'm just, they have articles kind of coming out.
Yeah, sick. Minnesota's doing this too. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No problem. They have articles coming out, particularly in Atlanta, because they was interviewed the mayor of Atlanta. They was like, a lot of the people that got arrested don't live here. Like, we arrested a whole bunch of motherfuckers and they are not from fucking the city.
Yes, like, one of the reasons, like, you can't really trust the white liberal people too. Everybody always says it on some, like, they just thinking about Democrats. I'm like, all of them, the Bernie people, the Antifa motherfuckers, I don't trust them because they not us. They don't have to deal with this shit. They can opt out at any fucking second.
Anytime.
So, like, them Antifa people will come in, start some violence, do a bunch of shit, and somebody, we had that video from DC that time, I remember, where they were burning shit in the street, and the black people that lived there was like, man, clean this shit up, what the fuck are you doing? And they was like, man, you know, this is about, you know, the fuck the authorities. They was like, man, I live here, I don't give a fuck about that shit.
Right.
Like, burn your shit up then. No, you know, right? You like that activism, tourism.
Come on!
You know, like, I'm gonna come through your town, burn your shit up, fuck with your police, do all this shit, and then go right back to my fucking cabin in the woods and watch y'all live through it. Like, I hate that shit.
Come on, you ain't burning your bistros.
So, yeah, man, like, and this shit, yeah, and I see people getting caught up in it and getting roped up, man, and they're using our very valid anger.
Right.
Against us. Like, I worry about us being, you know, stoking all these fires of anger, especially the people stoking it from the comfort of their own fucking homes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that shit is crazy to me. You know, I know it make people feel good, you know, but to say it at home because nothing's gonna happen to them, but I really hope people are more thoughtful about this shit. You know, I mean, I'm glad people finally understand that the episode where called The Bells is the greatest episode of television ever for the Game of Thrones. I'm glad people finally understand what the fuck I was saying, because when Missandei said Dracarys and died, and Danny said, I got you, we burning this bitch to the ground, I need that same type of energy. You know what I mean? For the people that love all this burning, like, y'all better not hate Game of Thrones, y'all better love it. Okay, you better love the last season. Nah, I'm just fucking with y'all, but nah, man, it just made me think about all that shit.
Right. And the thing is, particularly a lot of people that are rage and angry and upset, and they're sitting at their home, and particularly if these riots and things are not happening in their homes, it's like, motherfucker, if this was happening in your home, down your block, in your street, would you feel the motherfucking same that you do right now?
Thanks, Mike, in the chat. He sent a link to the Daily Mail article, The Sisters Are White. See? You see, because They're gonna pin this shit on us. These black people attack the cops at this protest, and they can't control. They rioting, they're looting, they're doing this, that, and the other. I'm not saying none of the people that are black that protest did any of those things. I'm not even trying to start a narrative of there being two different ways of protest, but the only people, like, I just know that white people don't have the skin in the game. Like, I saw this tweet where this person was like, a white person, and he was like, there's no right way to protest. So just know that not all the protests are peaceful, and not all the people, it's not, don't make it righteous black people doing non-violent protests and then all these outside white people doing violent protests. Let's not start down that path and play the game. And I said, but if that's the fucking truth,
what you're not gonna do matters too, like the truth matters.
You're not gonna pin this shit on us and then turn around and be like, you know, let them deal with the consequences.
That motherfucking matters. That matters.
Like, you don't, it's easy to say that when you're a white person, you don't gotta live with it.
Right.
We gotta actually live with the shit, man. Like, you know, and that's the other thing too. It's kind of the same thing that's happened with Ferguson, where people come out, protest peacefully. Even if they don't mind the curfew, they still are peaceful. And then there's this element that does want to fuck with the police, and they are out there for the rumble. And then when the police, you know, overstep, because that's what the fuck police always do, then you end up with the full-blown, like, tear gas riot, people getting shot with bullets and shit like that. And there's these people that revel in the shit that ain't us.
Mm-mm.
You know, like, we just want to live there and survive. So I don't know, man. I know this is a messy, weird conversation to start the show with, but it's a messy, weird world right now with a lot of shit moving, and it's just fucking frustrating, you know, sitting at home watching all this shit, you know, hoping people be okay and cooler heads prevail, and that people ain't gonna die from the coronavirus in a couple weeks to a month or whatever. Everybody went outside without masks to protest this shit. I really hope everybody can be okay, man, because this won't be the last one.
No, it will not.
It's just the latest.
And that's the thing. It's like wash, rinse, repeat, wash, rinse, repeat.
Yeah. And under this president who called Obama divisive, you know, while he's telling people to shoot people that loot, you know, like, this is some different shit right here, you know, but it's the same shit. Sorry. That's not the one I meant to play. Butterfly in the sky, I could go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere, friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow. All right, there's lots of good stuff happening, though. I've seen white people in Minnesota that were shielding the black people from the cops, using that white privilege for good. There's all kinds of celebrities and stuff bailing people out. Like, it's not all bad shit. Mm-mm. You know, I don't want to give that impression, but you know, it's just a fucked up time right now. And, you know, I'm not trying to be too pessimistic, but I, you know, seeing black people out without masks right now and not social distancing, like that's traumatic as every fucking cop video you see. Like, cause it's like, this shit kills us much, much more efficiently and effectively then it kills white people. So
yeah,
and I hope we'll be okay.
Right. And it didn't stop, you know, the coronavirus don't care about the riots and all that shit.
Yeah, I hope we'll be okay. All right, some people gave money to the show. Let's give them their music.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment.
Today's a new day, new day, new pay. We gotten some money that we want to talk about. Eric, shout out to Eric, we appreciate you, dog. Mm-hmm. Eric M, brand new donator, I believe. We got Jasmine A, recurring donator, thank you. Michael Irvin, the playmaker. Waste Bees by Sura. We got a one-time donation by Laura H. Thank you, Laura. We appreciate you. Dana R., recurring donator. Thank you so much. Mary H., recurring donator. Thank you. Deborah O., we appreciate you. Janine R., our girl Shanna B., Shanna Bowie. Thank you. Let's see. We got Omot A., Jonathan W., Rachel H., Stefan H., no relation, Brian B., Darwin M., Andy S., Trivia T., Jonathan H., Mr. Spam from the Spam Report Podcast, Jeffrey M., thanks Jeff, Corey B., Marvin B., yes, Marvin B., we got McCole F., Jay Full, thank you. Early Days of Photography. Michael W. Nerds in Luxury. Those luxurious nerds. Mm-hmm. Solana S. Asia D. Candace H. Chriselle. Thanks, Chriselle. We got a one-time donation from Phyllis L. Thank you very much, Phyllis.
Thank you.
Yvonne M. Yvonne M. Adam S. We got Tom W. J. Michael S. And lastly, we got David from Brooklyn. Thank you very much. That's everybody. Appreciate it. That's a lot of people.
Even though I've been here for a while, I smile. Smile. It's so hard to look up when you look down. I sure would hate to see you give up now. You look so much better when you smile. Smile for me. Can you just smile for me?
Whatever you're doing right now.
Smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And the people say,
oh, oh, oh.
Man, they gonna have a versus with the gospel people this week, I think. Everybody need it. All y'all need Jesus, okay? I see what's going on in the tweets and the streets.
He on the main line.
And the sheets.
Shout out
to OnlyFans. We did get a couple 5-star reviews. Let's go through them. We got one from Toronto, Canada. Thank you, okay, you hoser. Dope, love the show. From Will in Toronto, 5 stars. Thank you. Simply the best. This is from ODG78. Rod and Karen, you schemed, you plotted, and you finally clank you trapped me.
Yes!
I got on one knee. I said, yes, Karen, I will rate your podcast.
Thank you.
Dang, are you happy now?
I am.
Roger, Karen, I am guaranteed daily listen. It's like sitting down on a conversation with your friends and family, but without all the conspiracy theories and random hotepery. A great blend of politics, current events, pop culture, and unfortunately, soy ratchetness. P.S. Since they're from North Carolina too, I'm gonna start saying they're my city cousins from Charlotte. Oh, thank you. We'd be honored. Appreciate you, ODG78. Start every day with TBGWT. This is from Blinkin' Neon, who says, hello from New York. Well, hello back to you.
Hey, baby.
Had to finally get on here and write a 5-star review for my favorite podcast. Rod and Karen, thank you so much for this sharp, insightful, and hilarious show, and for giving so much of yourselves in each episode. You're a bright spot in my day, and you're with me. Whenever I venture out in New York City, trips to the grocery store have become pretty stressful during the pandemic. Yeah, but they're a lot easier when you come along. Aww. Thank you. I enjoy a good podcast when I go shopping by myself as well. Thank you for everything. Stay safe and healthy. We will do our best. Thank you. And that's all the 5-star reviews this week, but we appreciate you. Keep them coming, okay?
Yes.
We love these 5-star reviews. It makes our week. It lets us know.
I'm plotting on the rest of you. I see you out there. I'm gonna plot and scheme and beg and plead.
We got comments on the episode 21:10. You ain't black. It's our feedback episode. Malik says, what up, Rod and Karen? Just wanted to say y'all made hella points in this episode, especially with the whole disclosure around the talks about the Breakfast Club and Biden. I wholeheartedly agree. I'm not going to fix myself to argue about Joe making a joke about kicking people out of blackness for being Trump supporters when you know we do the same shit to them daily. Hell, whenever Sean King is trending on the internet, people stay kicking him out of blackness and questioning his blackness, and no one ever feels guilty about it. Yeah, that is true. And that started before the scammer rumors, but mm-hmm. It's now out of control. Joe definitely got too comfortable with black folks in his campaign. You know what I love to see, though? What would people on social media do if Joe had retweeted the article about Sean King allegedly scamming and said, enough is enough, Talcum X must be stopped? Oh, man. The chaos
the internet that would explode.
Yeah. The chaos that would God,
I don't meltdown.
You just melted my fucking brain because I
stay off of Twitter for about 2 whole weeks because they gonna be talking about it for two weeks.
I can't even imagine the conflict within the agendas of the people that hate Sean King, because most of them kind of hate Biden too,
right?
And you know, that's, and they painted themselves in a corner because they've turned hating Biden into like a personality. Mm-hmm. And so now anything he does, they try to they J. Jonah Jameson and shit, they try to find a way for it to be bad, no matter what he does. But if he did say that shit about Sean King, you have people, I don't know if you, what would be funnier, seeing those people become the first time they ever defend Sean King. You can't say that about him, and he's a black man, blah, blah, blah. Or if it would be the other way, where it's the first time we ever see them, like, support Joe Biden. I don't know which would be better.
You would see a little bit of both.
Yeah, and I don't know which would be better. Like, watching where people lined up on that would be some really good social media browsing. You know, I wouldn't say shit, obviously, mm-hmm. other than these jokes. I try to keep it to the jokes lately. Like, that's another thing too, like, you go on Twitter right now, Facebook, it's all black people trying to explain some shit to white people. Mm-hmm. I get tired from reading it. I know, mm-hmm. and I know white people ain't reading it, but I get tired from reading it as a black person. Mm-hmm. I know they tired of writing it.
Yep, a lot of times, y'all, I'm not trying to be funny. I don't read it.
And I'm gonna tell you something else. I don't know how true it is. Maybe other black people are doing this, but I'm gonna be real with y'all. I don't pay attention to which white people are silent. I don't pay attention to which black people are silent.
Mm-mm.
This shit where they be like, I'm paying attention to all of you who don't say, I don't know what the fuck, if they tell it, I don't know if that's the truth or not. I've never gave a fuck about that.
Mm-mm. And a lot of times they're just looking for particular people. When people say that,
gotta be
right. You don't,
or maybe they don't have a lot of friends.
That and like we said before, people hold celebrities and these people on a pedestal. So
not just celebrities, but like they're saying it about their friends, paying attention to which of these people on which of my white friends on Facebook ain't saying anything.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I wonder if they doing that, because that's a lot of work.
Yeah, they're looking at particular people, and we've talked about this before, but some people treat friendships like children. Like, you know, if I do something, you got to have my back. If I say something, you got to have my back, you know. Or some people, their personality is always like a very needy type of personality when it comes to friendship, so they expect everybody else to do the same. And a lot of people are just fucking performing too. And my thing is, nigga, who cares? Nobody cares. Just fucking unfriend them and keep it motherfucking pushing if it bothers you that much.
That's what I think that's where I'm at with it. When someone says something either stupid, callous, or they show they don't care, I don't want to send them a warning.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's not a countdown happening in my head. I'm not a fucking, you know, a ticking time. I'm like, no.
I will moonwalk my ass right out the room. And a lot of that is just so they can feel like they have the power and the authority over these people. They just want to control the narrative.
That's a great point. Because it feels like they try to put the rules like that dude from the movie Speed, where he kept calling and being like, if you do this, it's going to blow up. If you do this. Like, that seems like a lot of wasted energy observing white folks.
Yeah, because the thing is, you have no control over their actions. And that's the thing. You literally have no control. So you have to make yourself feel like and have the illusion in your own mind that you have control by setting up some fake parameters that nobody gives a fuck about but you, so that when you do start responding and unfriending, you will feel justified in your actions, because at the end of the day, it's not really about them, it's about you.
Yeah, it's just I'm just more worried about the amount of fucking energy and effort it is. You know what I mean?
Right, and
I ain't trying to like have white friends. I'm just hello, pop quiz, hot shot. It's Rod, and I just want to know: do all lives matter, or do black lives matter, motherfucker? You better answer real quick. I got my finger on the unfriend button, and it's going down in 3, 2, black lives matter. Oh, you passed that one. You're real lucky, chump. I'll be calling you back in 10 minutes.
Ha! I just wanted some sushi.
Like, it's just a lot of fucking work.
Yeah. You know, and the thing is, you know, and it's funny how they put the parameters on white people. And like I said, some people actually do it to other black people. And truth be told, I'm not saying funny. Once I learned the definition of narcissism and what the characteristics of it is, a lot of people show these characteristics and they don't even realize it. Well, it is a part of their personality.
I don't even think this is narcissism, Karen. I really don't. Because I think narcissism is more of a like a need to like control and punish people. I think this is on a deeper level. Go ahead.
No, and the reason why I say that is because you don't have to be a full blown narcissistic type of person to have these traits and characteristics. That's what I'm saying. People have pieces of it, mm-hmm. and they're displaying pieces of it all across social media. They're displaying these pieces, and it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so once I see it, I go, oh no, it ain't about what you say it is. It's about this, because it all relates and circle back to you. At the end of the day, it got to be about you.
I definitely agree with you there that, you know, I think all of social media, the things that work on social media are narcissistic.
Correct.
Things. Like, it's just, you can't escape it.
Mm-mm.
You know, but what I was going to say is, I think on a deeper level, for black people specifically making these pleas and demands and commands of white people, I don't think this is narcissism of them being like, I'm going to control you. I think it's anger, and underneath that anger, at the bottom of it, is fear that they don't love you, that they're your friend on Facebook but they don't actually care about your life, or that they need to, that there's some act they can do to soothe you, to make you feel better, to assuage your fear and honor your emotions and your feelings about it. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, they don't, like, I'm assuming, especially on Facebook where you did pick these friends, you know, it seems like they, and I don't know, maybe they are just being performative and grandstanding for black people that watch it, but I don't know, man. Underneath it all, at least the ones I've read, because I haven't interacted with people that make these statuses, but I keep seeing them over and over, and I just keep thinking they have white people still in their lives, and they're not sure if those white people are down, and we're all at different spectrums and different times in our lives. You know, I don't have white friends, so this is not a thing I need to say to white people that know me. You see what I'm saying? But if I did, I might feel like I need to put my foot down and let them know that I ain't the one, or, you know, this really bothers me, and they need to be checking on me, and they need to be calling me, and all that stuff. So I don't like to say it's just narcissism, you know? Like, Randolph Terrence did a post about, like, white people are not checking on their black friends. What does that say about the friendship? You know what I mean? Like, and then he said people start checking on them and stuff. And he was, and then said thank you, and it made them want to go check on their other friends that are black, that are seeing all this shit. So, I don't know.
And the thing is, I agree what you're saying, but it's still about trying to control something that's uncontrollable.
Absolutely.
And that's the bottom line.
It's what we have on social media is that. You see what I'm saying? Like, social media in itself is a narcissistic tool. It's not a, it's the to be good at it, you, the, that's why narcissists excel at it. To be good at it, you need to do it. But if you're on there, you're already kind of, by the nature of the beast, having to be narcissistic, because you're telling everybody your opinion about everything that's happening in the world,
right?
You know, and then and then there's other tendencies, the unfriend, the shunning, the blocking, the grouping up of these negative relationships where we all mock certain people and we all pursue and harass other people and stuff. I'm not saying everyone, I'm saying mm-hmm. we a lot, but mm-hmm. I try not to participate in some of these behaviors, but I think it's a narcissistic tool. So you're like, that's why I said I don't even really disagree, because we don't have the tools to make it not a narcissistic endeavor. You know what I mean? Even if you just sit on Facebook all day and retweet memes, you're still, that's still what you, it's still making it about you, what you're interested in, what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? There's no way to take that and make it not about you, because you yeah. control it, you know? Cool. And so when they say stuff like this, the same way black women sometimes be like, black men, I feel endangered by this. So I, you know, nobody says anything when we die. I don't go, you fucking narcissist or whatever. I'm like, yeah, that, you know, like, that's a fear inside of you that you're expressing to me. It might not be coming out with you just coming out and being straightforward and saying, I'm scared. I'm scared that I can't trust you. I'm scared that something's going to happen to me and you're not going to care. Mm-hmm. I'm scared that you don't care about my life deep mm-hmm. down. That's what they're really saying. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of these warnings to white people is that. And I'm just like, it's probably because I don't have white friends, but is, how is that not exhausting to have to?
It got to be.
You know what I mean? Because you can't really be straight up with them. You're threatening them rather than saying the truth, which I'm fucked with, and y'all don't seem to care.
And that is a valid feeling, and that is a valid reason. Mm-hmm. And I do agree that when it comes to social media, everybody on social media, no matter what the platform is, has, you know, these characteristics. Mm-hmm. But I think not for some. But like this, there's some people where they are truly like, hey, I'm hurt and I'm seeking help.
Well, those, let me just stop there. Those are the only people I'm talking about.
Okay. Okay.
I know the people you're talking about, the performative, if you're not a white ally unless you give me $30 people. I'm almost never really wanting to talk about them. And I try to keep those kind of people from around me, you know, but I'm talking about people that's like, really making pleas that, you know, I think are in their friend circles and their mm-hmm. Their relationship circles, their work circles, because some people, you know, they don't, we're blessed to, and I say blessed, I know some people wouldn't look at it that way, but we're blessed to have a very, very black experience.
Right, yes.
You know, we're blessed to not have to, the mental side of the impact of us dealing with whiteness is very low for the most part. Mm-hmm. We're able to pick and choose like what the fuck we're dealing with. Right now you're able to work from home, so you're not even having to go into an office and deal with white folks like mm-hmm. that. So we're very privileged at this point in that one area. And so I think when I read that shit, it just makes me feel like damn, man, these black people are really struggling. We are struggling out here,
right?
And we want white people to understand, and it is, for me personally, not to knock anyone else, I don't think they can. And so I wouldn't waste any time, I wouldn't waste a second trying to get them to come through, because they're not, the ones who want to understand already are trying.
Yeah, they're attempting. Right.
The ones who can't be moved until they see a black man's neck getting, those are not my people. I'm not blackness 101 for them. I'm not the introductory course. And there's a lot of niggas signed up to teach the introductory course, as evidenced by all the social media, all the little programs, all the give me your money and I'll show you, I'll teach you, you know, a very, like, a way to understand this shit. I don't get paid for that, and mm-hmm. I don't want to. So good luck to those folks, though. Man, I don't know how we got on that. Malik's comment, that's how we got onto it. So and that's how I felt about the Joe Biden shit. That's a very black discussion, and I would love to see if Joe Biden did call this dude Talcum X, how the fucking people would flip-flopping, or how they would try to avoid it and ignore it. Because a lot of these wokes have ridden themselves into a corner because they've been so anti-Biden that no matter how bad Trump gets, they refuse to come out their mouth and say, well, I'm voting for Joe Biden and I don't give a fuck. And if you can't say it now, I blame you for really putting yourself in such a hole. Cause you don't need to. If you, like, it makes you, if it's some pride about you that makes you feel like I'm giving up something to admit I'm gonna vote for the thing better than Trump, that's crazy to me. Like, if you feel like you're gonna, then it shows to me you were in it for the contrarianism and you were in it for the attention and the devil's advocacy and shit like that. You weren't really in it, because at this point, no well-minded black person should even be considering Trump, or considering not voting, to be honest.
Come on.
Or considering voting third party. None of, like, all those are just people that don't want to help you out. I know that would never happen, but boy, that'd be fascinating to watch. Stay safe out there. Anthony says, hello, Rod and Karen. Last week, you guys wished me happy belated birthday on your feedback show. Even though it was belated, I still appreciate that. Hey, no problem. You're welcome.
No problem,
baby. Sorry I got to that email late. My wife, another Karen, but she black though. Same here. But you know what? That's why I get to talk about Karens, okay? Cause I'm married to one. So anytime somebody tries to say, is Karen a slur? I'm like, yes. And I get to use it. Sent you guys the email on my actual birthday thinking you would read it then. She didn't know. She's a civilian. It is true. I hit the big 50. And I gotta say, being a black man in America, that is truly a milestone. And I want you guys to know that I've been a listener a long time. I don't know exactly how long, but I can remember the Rod's first review of Godzilla. And also remember the origin of Impossible White Man movies. Wow.
You've been around for a hot minute.
Means I read the Impossible White Manifesto to you.
Yeah, you did.
I can truly say I'm a better person now than I was then, and I owe a lot of that to you guys. All right, y'all have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
EVE says, I'm more annoyed by white people telling me I should be offended by what Joe Biden said than what Joe Biden actually said. And now the funny part is, she had a typo. So the first time she said it was what Joe Biden said more than what Ho Biden actually said. But then she said, whoops, I meant Joe, not Ho. And I'm like, Ho Biden is pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like that sounds like, somebody that really hates that dude.
Yeah.
Like a nickname. Like, don't let black Twitter get a hold of hashtag Ho Biden, because it's over. They gonna get us right back into Trump. They will. They will tweet us right back into Trump with that one. They won't be able to help themselves. That's Talcum X level. The poll is, have you ever gotten into a fight at a party? Yes or no?
No.
Me neither. 25% say no, say yes. They have. 75% say no. They're squares like us.
Mm-hmm.
Parties are not for fighting for me.
They are not for, I know, I don't go to a party to fight.
Mm-mm. Not my thing.
Parties ain't your thing, but still.
Yep. Episode 20, but I love fighting. Oh my God. Episode 2111, Banana Republicans, when we had Nick and Reg on from What's the Tea?
Yes!
So much fun.
That was fun.
Young Chef says, Karen killed me. They was shaking, but he wasn't stirring. Laughed my ass off. Thanks for the dedication and content y'all provided through the quarantine. I work for a huge insurance company, and they said the earliest we'd be back in office is September. Me and Ma will be in the crib until at least then and masked up when we have to go out.
Mm-hmm.
Classic R&B lover says, Rod, you omitted the option I would have taken for the poll. None. They all suck. So we'll get to the poll in the end. Trey Swindle says, big thanks to you guys for having Reggie and Nick Jew on this episode. It was hilarious from beginning to end. I loved every minute of it. Thanks so much, Karen, Rod and Karen. Trey. Thanks, Trey.
Thank you.
The poll is, which one are you supporting? Azalea Banks, Doja Cat, or Lana Del Rey?
These are all bad choices.
The poll is, which one are you supporting? Azalea Banks, Doja Cat, or Lana Del Rey? Karen?
I guess the last one, because at least she apologized.
Lana Del Rey?
As I think about another white woman.
I don't think she apologized. No. She's the one that said that they was doing all the Beyonce, Rihanna, and them need to, you know, they get to do their music about S&M and abusive relationships, and she don't get to make any. You don't remember her? We literally just talked about her.
I thought she apologized. My bad.
Mm-mm. Only Doja Cat has apologized.
Oh shit! Did she gave a halfway apology to her? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's not which one?
Doja Cat then.
Okay, Doja Cat. Karen's going with Doja Cat. I am going with Wow. This is tough.
Yeah, I'd rather pick nobody. But still.
No, no, I made it not an option on purpose. I got it. Wow. Wow. These are three. Well, the white woman I just don't care about, so that's probably not fair. She may not be as problematic as the other two. She's probably the right choice. That, to be honest, I don't know this woman.
Mm-mm.
Doja is light skinned and thick though, so you know, as a straight black man, I have to err on the side of that. Azealia Banks has a longer history of being problematic.
Yes,
and I know not to trust that scorpion crossing the river. If I pick a white woman, I'm picking against two women of color. And you know, black women listen to our podcast. So that's just no right answer on this one.
You made the poll.
I guess I'm going to go with eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch a nigga by his toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, Azealia Banks. I will be supporting Azealia Banks for the 2020 vice presidential nomination. Let's look at the comments.
Choice.
Well, okay, so is your choice great? I think you're supporting a racist that hates black people, Karen, that called us niggers. All right.
I don't know what to tell you.
Well, all right, so I don't know what to tell you either. That dude from VI says, this was a great episode filled with so many jokes. This episode was already a classic when Karen shut it down with the Banana Republican. My lord, thank you for that, Karen. Hashtag legend queen, Karen. Hashtag yes, I'm using hashtags. DD says, I've never listened to Lana, Doja, or Azalea's music, nor gave them a dime of my hard-earned money, so I'll continue sipping my tea as everyone else argue about who should be canceled and why. First of all, I don't believe you, DD. Unless you just start listening to this podcast, you definitely heard that Bitch I'm a Cow song, because we plays that. Okay?
I guess she's saying she don't go out of her way to listen to it. Like, she, it ain't like it's queued up.
She said she's never listened to it, nor gave them a dime.
On her own free time, apparently.
Cheyenne says, I would rather deal with Banks living on the outskirts of pop culture, saying the F word and sacrifices chickens. Oh, God, I forgot about the chickens. What have I done? They then listening to them wrong and entitled opinions of the other ones. It's really sad because Doja Cat had the five great songs on my workout playlist, but I can't have a devil near my sweat. Can't have a devil near my sweat. What a devil. Where do you keep the devil? EVE says, I only picked Lana because I never heard of her being homophobic like the other two, but it was a tough choice. I hate you, Rod, for making me pick. You welcome, EVE. Okay. You need some tough decisions in your life. You been having a little too easy around here, and it's time for it to stop. I like the general collective feeling about that poll.
I'm supposed to feel sorry for that bitch. I don't.
All right. We got episode 2112, 2112, or 2112, as I like to say it. With our girl Ray. It was called Catching Up with Ray Sani because we didn't do shit. We didn't talk about anything I had planned to talk about.
We talked about telephone conversation, and I was here for it.
But we did talk about everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love talking to Ray. You know, she's a cool people. And then, you know, I remember one time she called to talk about, you know, set up for her new podcast and stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, just call me, I'll walk you through it or whatever. And I ended up talking to her all the way to when I went to lunch with Will Strickland when he was in town.
Duh!
Cause I was just like, it was like we just started talking about random shit and like, what about this and all that stuff. So she's just real cool people. And I get nervous when I do episodes like this because I know we're off topic. I know she's a fan of the show. Mm-hmm. I know we're not covering the things that I expected to cover and that I think at this point the audience probably expects us to cover. And so I get a little nervous, you know, I wasn't doing like research on stuff. So some of these topics we're talking about, I'm not looking up the articles. I'm just going off to what I remember off the top of my head and stuff. And so sometimes I get a little nervous about that. We didn't even play the games at the end and we talked for a long time. And all that stuff. And so, if you know, when we get done with the episode, in my head I'm always like, I hope it was fun for me. I hope that translates to fun for everybody else.
I'm like, I had a good time.
Yeah. I know, yeah, that's, but that's all, I do the show that so that that's all you should have to worry about. But I worry about everything else you don't worry about.
That's
so
true.
You know, to me, I'm like, man, I hope that was fun. So it really, really was dope as people were like, yo, this is great. This is one of my favorite episodes. One of my best episodes in a long time. I missed Ray. We haven't got to talk to her in so long and all that type of shit, man. Like it was, people still talking about it on Twitter on the hashtag, like, that I was like, cool, like it just, because I was like, I had a great time, I hope it's not selfishly my, it's great to me, you know. And then people out there like, these niggas didn't even do a show, like I loved it. So I'm so glad everyone else did.
Yes.
Brooklyn Shoebay says, adults definitely said nigga around me in the 70s and 80s, but we wouldn't be allowed to use it as kids because it was like saying a curse word like bitch or motherfucker. Same. In college, I began using it more frequently, especially the more I got into rap. My daughter, yo, rap really is the plug for the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Comedy started it, but rap, it took it to the end zone, okay? Like, that shit, that shit ran it in for the touchdown. My daughters go to and have gone to majority white public schools in New York because of our zip code. Recently, my 13-year-old seventh grader was talking about race with some of her white and Asian homeboys. They asked if she had ever been called the N-word. She said yes, by my mom. They were confused, and suddenly I feel uncomfortable using it around my teen children. I don't want to put my children in a position to have to explain blackness at such a young age. Because of the neighborhoods they live in and the schools they go to, it's like they have to do a double code switch. My oldest had to do that when she started a majority black high school this past fall. So she went back forth and back. Mm-hmm. It's strange telling kids to be their authentic self, but everywhere they go they have to code switch. It is strange. It's blackness in America. That is interesting. I wonder how the teacher took that when your daughter, when your child was like, I mean, my mom calls me nigga, but other than that, no. Like, have you ever been called the N-word? Because you know they said it all like serious, like, you know, thinking this is a racist way. And it's like, only by my mother. And they're like, oh my God, her mother's a fucking black hating racist. Clayton Bigsby, I thought she was a nice librarian woman. But now we know that she's one of these.
Thought she was a good Christian woman.
Secret Jason Whitlock women. She just been going around calling her kids the hard R. And can they ask a follow up question like that?
Was it with a ER or an A?
Yeah, well, how do you think you would spell how she called you the N-word? Brianna says, Rod and Karen, absolutely loved hearing Karen talk about the early days of your relationship. When she described herself as someone who had talked people to sleep, I laughed out loud because I have a niece who is exactly like that. I love her to death and she is nothing but sweet, but that girl just talks so much.
Yes. I'm trying to tell you, I was that kid, and it wasn't until I was an adult that I found somebody that could out-talk me, and I went to my mama, and I was like, Mama, I was like, I finally understand how you feel all these years when you used to look at me, and you wouldn't always say it, but I could tell you would be like, shut the hell up. I was like, I understand now, because I was like, this person talked and talked. I was like, oh my gosh, when is this conversation gonna end? But that was me as a kid.
Yeah, you know, I'll just try to be patient. I'm not really that
yeah, Roger just let me go.
Yeah, like I'd listen and then try to, you know, sometimes I multitask. Like I'll play a video game and Karen's talking to me.
I had to get used to that because I was like, you're not paying attention, but he actually is still listening.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'd be like, is you listening?
Yeah. And then the other thing too is when Karen thinks I'm not listening, she'll tell me something two or three times, and that I do hate. So I will stop her and be like, you told me this already. Like, and because I don't know, you just thought I wasn't listening the first time, but it's like I'm always listening. Like, if I'm not listening, I normally will stop you and be like, hold up, what'd you just say? Or wait, what happened? Or something. But I'm almost always listening. So it's like, I don't need to hear this two or three times.
I don't need this record played again.
Yeah. The other day she told me, when you're tired of listening, just walk out the room. It won't hurt my feelings.
Ah, that was me.
Karen, I was so encouraged by your story and hope that my niece will one day find her own version of Rye, who will be strong enough to endure her marathon conversations.
Yeah, if you just walk out the room, I'm like, I'm okay, guess you won't hear me talk no more.
Evie says, I agree with that stan culture has gotten out of control. Like, when that Lana Del Rey chick made the statement about Nicki, Beyonce, and Rihanna, my first thought was, now why does she come for the women with the three biggest crazy stand-ums? Right. And it's she didn't want the problems with the bars, Beehive, and the Navy. And it's crazy that I know the name of these stand-ums. But on the other hand, you have those people who like yucking people's yum and go out of their way to tell people why the person they like is garbage or mediocre, as if minding your business isn't free. Yo, that is like a reverse stand-up to me, though. That's something I noticed. That's like a reverse stand-up. Like, this, like the people today that were like trying to find something wrong with what Beyonce said. And you're just like, there's something in you that needed to make her a problem so you could be like, right, look at me, I'm standing up to her and all her fans. Like, nigga, you ain't a superhero. You're not motherfucking Captain America staring into the void. You are just fighting with Twitter trolls. Don't try to act like you need a fucking Medal of Honor for this bullshit, you know? Meanwhile, you at the crib and ain't done nearly as much as she's done for all them people in just that little bit of time she spent.
That's my whole point.
Get out of here. What about her filter? What about her hair? Like, what is wrong with y'all? Y'all the same niggas that attacked that woman for leaning over her to ask Jay-Z a question about his drink. Like, something is wrong with y'all. The machine needs to feed every day and y'all keep fucking finding something to feed it with.
Of course.
Like, something gotta go in, whether it's motherfucking Amy Cooper or Christian Cooper. Something gotta go in the machine.
We don't give a damn.
Long as it gets fed. It's okay to have an opinion and even post about it, but some people take it too far. Yeah. Trey says, I absolutely love what Ray said about our favorite black shows from the 90s, having some white writers in the white writing rooms. If people only knew. Yeah, some of our black shit is just Norman Lear's dreams. Some people sit up online saying they want a certain type of black content, but stay hating on black content from black creators without properly giving it a chance to just simply saying, hey, it's not for me, and just move on. I live for the day when we can have all types of black content to choose from and people reach a point where they just give stuff a shot. Thanks again, Karen Rod and Ray Trey.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think, go ahead.
And there is a lot of black shit out there, more black shit now than literally we've ever had. I know that might sound wild to people. I mean, yes, it should be more, yes, I understand that, but it still is more, and it's almost an overload, and sometimes it's hard to keep up with everybody because it's so many people. The problem is not the content. The problem is that people just want to complain. Like it's a subsection of people that just want to complain, because there is so much shit that you don't have to like everything. You don't have to love everything. Everything ain't got to be your fave. You can be like, I like Atlanta, but I don't like Insecure. I like Insecure, but I don't like Atlanta. I like this, but I don't like that. Like, you can literally be like that and literally just keep it pushing. But it's something with inside of people that makes them feel like they must do this.
Yeah, I think also, it's almost like cable and all the streaming companies are calling our bluff at this point. It's like literally everything that people say, I would watch if it was this, happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they never like that shit.
Mm-mm. You just move the bar.
You know, one of the reasons I think I like so much of the new black shit that I watch is because I like black people and I like being black. Like, it's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a thing I want to escape. It's not a burden. It's not a thing I don't want to learn about. So I like, you know, even when it's the struggle blackness of the civil rights era, I like it. If it's slavery, I like it, because I want to know about that too. If it's a new era, like millennial shit, I want to know that too. I don't need to be these people. I don't need these people to represent every fucking song I like and every reference I know. I don't need all that. I like other black people. I like their ideas. I like the way they look. I like the way they talk, even when they're not from here, even when I'm learning about like life in another place as black people.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love it. I'm a blackness stan, okay? So you say don't be a stan for celebrity. I'm not a stan for celebrity, but I am a stan for just black people doing black shit
right
everywhere.
Right, all no matter where they're from.
All kinds of different ass black people, you know? Long as I'm not picking up no straight up overt, like, I hate black people vibes from it, I fucking love it.
Correct.
So if that's gonna be my flaw, I'm too soft on black shit, cool. Someone need to be.
So the rest of you niggas complaining, y'all got it.
Someone needs to be. All right, the poll was, do you watch reality shows? Never, all the time, or just once in a while?
I guess once in a while. I mean, because I don't really watch them, like, not like I used to. So, I mean, if it's on, I'll watch, but it ain't on top of my agenda.
Never, all the time, or just once in a while?
I guess once in a while, but yeah, I guess. But.
All right, 56% of people said just once in a while. 23% said all the time. 20% said never. I think I'm going to put myself in the never category. I don't watch them anymore. The only thing I would say to push back on that, and I know it's me pushing back on myself, duh, it's kind of stupid, but is if I counted reality shows as sports, because sports is a big ass reality show. It's not really, you know, like, yeah. For people that think they're doing better than everybody because they don't watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but they do watch The Bulls, nigga, you watch the reality show. But I would say I don't watch, is what people think of reality TV shows. I don't really watch them at all.
Right. And when you start watching, I literally stop watching. So no, like, you know. Yeah.
Oh, so now you feel confident to say never.
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad you could admit
right,
that.
Right. Because I was like, well, if you count the few times I was in the background, then I guess.
Yeah. I don't watch them. I gave up Love and Hip Hop because at some point I realized it was crossing a thing in me. It's not the show. I don't. I'm not one of these people that describes, like, and this is bad for black people to these shows. It doesn't matter. It made me feel icky when I was watching them have a plot line. I think it was about miscarriages. And they were, like, arguing over whether someone faked a miscarriage or not. And it was in the same episode as them talking about some, like, black-on-black gun violence with the police. And I was just like, dog, why am I watching this? Cause at this point, they're actually crossing it. I watch this to escape, and they're using the shit that I'm running from in my brain to be like, let's rub your face in this. Wouldn't it be funny if this was a plot line? I'm like, not really. You know what I mean? Like, when Real Housewives and they're talking about, did someone rape someone else on the cast? I'm like, like, especially when you know reality show is fake. At this point, it's not actually real. No one said we don't need to take it this far. Like for the ratings, there's a level where we have to stop, you know. But anyway, we got one comment from Static who says, I started watching Catfish on Hulu before COVID, and now that's my go-to when I'm looking for something to watch. Yeah, I think also people like watching reality shows because they reality TV shows, in a lot of cases, you can put on in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you ain't got to be paying that much attention.
It's the same reason I love watching on the TV1 For My Man and Fatal Attractions. Because it's in the background. I can, like, do anything in the house, and I'll never miss anything important because they repeat everything 17 times.
Yes, they do.
So, all right. The last episode is 2113 Doja Cat Explains. Calamity says, man, that bag of money that family found fell off a postal truck while it was being transported to another facility. That kind of money would be nice, but I wouldn't risk the feds kicking in my dough. Well, I know a lot of people that would. Fireworks says, hey guys, wow, so can George W. bring a plus one? Laura, LOL. I wanted to speak on the FedEx situation. FedEx actually uses subcontractors for their ground services. The express trucks are actually employed by FedEx, meaning Rod, you can buy and own a route. Karen and Jessica can be your delivery drivers. FedEx will provide you with the truck and packages. You, Rod, will be responsible for gas, insurance, and any parking tickets received. But of course, FedEx can override you, Rod, and fire Justin if he did something crazy. Great help, Fireworks out. Thanks, Fireworks.
Thank you. I feel that statement just made me say, okay, you franchise like McDonald's. But right. As far as that customer was concerned, you work for motherfucking FedEx. I don't know if it's franchised or not. I just see motherfucking McDonald's when I walk up in this bitch. Mm-hmm. Like as a customer. So yes, he was going after a FedEx employee, even though it was quote unquote franchised.
The Lost, Evie says the Lost Tribe Reading Rainbow discussion really hit home. I was one of those kids, and it took several years of deprogramming to love myself and my people. It's why I often have compassion for these young black kids aiding with white supremacy, because really, they've been indoctrinated into it. And a lot of the times that kids do learn when they get older, it's the Candace Owens, Jason Whitlock, and Rock Candy and Polyesters. who I take issue with, who simply can't wait to tap dance to get a little praise from racists. Fuck those coons. Yep. On a lighter note, I agree with you about leaving that $1 million alone. I've seen enough movies to know that never ends well. Mm-hmm. I'm not fixing to get a knock in the middle of the night to get sliced up. Yeah, the other thing you gotta fuck with that money shit, even if it was the government's money, the government don't play about their money. Mm-mm. That's the one thing that they, not one, but it's the major thing that they will put your black ass in prison forever for. Kim Doc says, hey y'all, I like Doja's first album a lot, and I played it while working in the lab. Of course, my 11-year-old niece is into the tickety tock, like all the kids are, so we had a jam session. I put her on to my jams and from her first album called Amala. We had a great time just jamming over FaceTime. I didn't know she would be canceled the very next day, but I gotta be honest, I'm still gonna play that album. Her being in those chat rooms wasn't a shock to me. Same way Lil Nas X was a toxic barb a few years ago. She has her eccentric kink. Yeah, I will say this, man. I know people make a big deal out of canceling and not listening to artists. I wasn't already listening to her like that. I just was barely getting into her, and I liked what I heard. I just really didn't have the time. I would always go to some other shit that I already was fucking with. But she's a very talented, good artist in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she's gonna get canceled over this. Mm-hmm. Either. And it's kind of weird how people get grandfathered into this shit. I was watching a video of Fat Joe talking to Lil Wayne. And Lil Wayne was reiterating once again how little he cares about the Black Lives Matter movement, and it's really black people's fault that some of this shit happens to us and all that stuff. And I kept thinking, like, that is a lot of people's hip-hop icon. The way I look at Jay-Z, mm-hmm. they look at Lil Wayne.
Right.
And Lil Wayne is really what people swear Jay-Z is. Like, but he's actually actively telling you, like, no, I don't care about Black Lives Matter. No, I don't care about this racism shit. What y'all gonna do about it, you know? And people, they ain't gonna do nothing to him. So mm-hmm. I don't really understand the line for what is cancelable and I can't even listen to your music no more when it comes to shit like this.
I wasn't saying
you had to answer that, but just in general, like, I can't keep up with when people are really like, this affects the way I hear your music, and when they're not. Cause Lil Wayne, yeah. People still fuck with him.
Yeah, and it's subjective. So everybody has their line on where they draw their lines at. It varies per person.
Yeah, I think a lot of people that are quote unquote canceling her, if you made them take a lie detector test, they would have to admit that they don't actually fuck with her like that in the first place.
Correct.
That's why everybody was dunking on her she's canceled. You know, cause like, if you just don't fuck with her, and I think low key, they was only cozying up to her for the like boost of, ooh, it's four black women on the top of the chart. You know, that she kind of got roped into that. Like Nicki, who they already had canceled 37 times, but can't keep canceled. Mm-hmm. Doja, Beyonce and Megan, both of them are pretty much universally supported and don't do much wrong. For people to be on their ass about. So I think they just wanted to have that collective, like, it's a black girl magic moment, and nah, it's not gonna happen. You know, and I know people say that it's black men brought Doja back. Nigga, she was twerking and people tried to turn her into some type of icon. She did what a lot more of these people need to do. When you fuck up, you twerk through it. Okay? Shut the fuck up. Get to twerking. People will fill in the gaps for you. They will make you back, and they will forget what you said. They will forgive what you said. They will let it all go. Get to twerking, because it's all iconic. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody loves to see it. Like, yep. Women love it because they can be like, ooh, look at this. This is goals. That's what I'm talking about. And men love it because, you know, whatever. But men ain't buying no Doja Cat albums. They did not make her anything.
Come on. They not investing any money. And ass cheeks clapping will make people forget a lot of shit.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, like, I know men are not at them concerts filling up them seats. Mm-hmm. Like, that's... They don't give a fuck about her music. They just want to fuck her. They follow her on Instagram and watch her twerk, and then they watch her videos on, like, you know, Twitter or some shit. But they not actually like, I'm a huge Doja fan. Doja Hive, like, they don't care. Also, does she have a Hive? It's like Doja Clan.
I don't know. I've never heard of it.
I think it's gotta be Doja Clan with a K. I think it's gotta be. But anyway, I don't blame you for keep listening. I wouldn't not listen because of these niggas. Mm-hmm. Like, unless it's some personal shit you can't live with. Like, I'm not worried. Don't you gotta perform for me. Because I'm damn sure not performing for y'all. I listen to Kanye all the time.
And don't give a fuck.
I warm up this show to Kanye all the time. I fucking love Kanye music. I don't know that nigga. Never was under the illusion that I did. But I fuck with that dude's, like, first whatever albums because they was dope to me. Mm-hmm. Like, so he fucked up and went MAGA. I gotta give it up? The fuck?
Yeah, you can do that.
Right.
But it don't mean I have to.
If I had that level of principles, I would have never listened to Kanye in the first place. He done always had issues. Like, if that was the case, how was he ever on? Now that he's MAGA, I care about all this misogyny in his records. No, that's not how this works. Nobody canceled Kanye. Oh, you brought it up yourself. Nobody canceled Kanye to where it would stick and he pulled around with the modern day Hitler. Even still, slavery was a choice to him, yet the ugly ass Yeezys fly off the shelf and people are buying $80 church socks that say church socks on them, all because he can mix Back That Ass Up with Melodies from Heaven. He was complaining he was too broke for the fashion industry and now he's sitting comfy. Good for him or whatever. So I don't really care about the Doja Cat outrage. There's other artists that are just as harmful with their platform that are thriving, and they're men. And I'm not deleting them. Azealia Banks jams I have either from her album Broke with Expensive Taste. When she wasn't insane, she was a beast of an artist. I have to give it a spin. I have only this happens too, and it sucks for these people, but it is what it is. Some people, I only get introduced to them the day they get canceled.
Yes, sir. Other than that, I literally know nothing about
them. So I never cross over in my mind to go check them out. Mm-mm. As an artist.
Right.
Cause I've never been a fan of them to lose them.
Right.
So for me, it's just like, why would I gain a thing from them? I don't care. And now you're known for being a fuck up more than an artist. Like, if I would have heard Azealia Banks' album and then seen her fucking up, I'd probably be more sympathetic, right? Like, damn, man, she did rap about this or something, but now I'm just like, oh, I don't know her.
Yeah, and for most people, you know, for a lot of people, this is how they were introduced to her. I know she had a fan base, but for a lot of people, they just know her from her antics.
I didn't know who Hill Harper was, and then he left some type of shady comment on Gabrielle Union's Instagram page. He's an actor.
Okay.
And he said something that is transphobic. And I'm like, I don't even know him like that, and maybe I would know his face if I saw it, but
right.
I don't know him enough to know his name and follow his work. But I'm like, yeah, so this is now the thing I know him for before I know him from any show. Like, right. I'll remember his name for this way longer than I'm gonna remember that time he was on, you know, CSI show. New York. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. Might sound hypocritical, but some of these joints kept me sane. I feel you, Kim Doc. And the poll is, do you forgive Doja Cat? Yes, no, or I was never mad at her. Karen?
I was never mad at her.
56% of the audience was never mad at her, which is interesting. Interesting as hell. And 2% say yes, and 42% say no. Let's see the poll comments. Miss Barnes says, Jesus, in the time that child apologized, I would have filled out my 2019 taxes and have time left over to drink liquor, brown liquor. In the meantime, how did 4C hair catch a stray? Justin W says, this is a good episode. That stuff about Boosie is crazy. Like y'all said, he just openly admitted a crime. Then he gonna expect us to create him a free Boosie hashtag when they lock him up. All right, also, you are totally right about the gender plays a huge role in this. If the victims are boys, it's okay because men and boys are supposed to be hypersexual or else you gay, lol. This is rape and I need Olivia Benson from SVU to get on the case ASAP. Shady Dame says, Karen is right. We can sunburn. Oh, I knew this was happening. I knew you blacks were going to write in with how sensitive your skin is to the sun with your I'm Not My Ancestors t-shirt song. I knew it. I knew it. Oh, if they made me a slave, I'll take out a loan and buy the whole plantation and give them all jobs to show them that I'm a special type of black. I knew this was going to happen. So it's my fault. I'm not blaming y'all. Y'all really can't help yourselves, okay? This is on me. I take the blame for all these. I actually do get sunburned. I know black people sunburn. It's a joke. It was a joke, y'all. Please use sunscreen. I'm so sorry.
You better. We can get cancer too, yes.
I'm so sorry. I'm sure the slaves even sunburned. I'm sure they did. Just white people didn't care.
Right.
I'm just regular brown. My kids are chocolate sprinkles. I need to see pictures. I need to see pictures, Shady Dame. I got a feeling you super, you might be super light skinned. I don't know. Since I have never had a sunburn, never have I ever seen a person with any sunscreen, I always thought the sunburn was just some white people shit. My son and I went to, on a hike a few years ago. My son was saying that his skin was on fire later that night. I thought he was being sarcastic and, I asked him to take a bath. He was like 10 years old and was not about the daily bath life at the time. I figured he was just extra dirty from the hike. Mm-mm. Oh, you gotta have that Kenya Barris. Now you know you done fucked up.
You set that baby skin on fire.
You gotta have that Kenya Barris. You know you done fucked up speech to find out when he took that shower. Next day he was burned. His nose, forehead, shoulders. I took him to urgent care. And the white as fuck nurse looked at me like I was crazy when I was telling her in a panic that I was worried that he had chemical burns. I know this is how much I thought black people didn't sunburn.
I know, she was like, no baby, this is some, his skin is peeling from sunburn, baby.
She told me that he had a sunburn and to put aloe on it. Mm-hmm. Kind of said it with a tone that let me know that she called me an idiot in her head too. Anywho, yeah, Rod, black people sunburn. Let me tell you something, Shady Dame. I have sunburned before.
I haven't.
I have sunburned, okay? Karen said she sunburned, or she knows she gonna sunburn, but that's cause Karen is a punk, okay? Don't listen to Karen. She just be telling y'all anything.
I never said I got sunburned.
No, you was like, not me. I'm not going out there. I get sunburned. And I'm like, you don't know that. Cause you never had it. But
if I stay in the sun long enough, the sun will cook my ass.
Right. You see what I'm saying, guys? I want you guys to go back to that conversation and think about the conviction that she told y'all that she definitely knows she gonna get sunburned. Remember that. Anyway, I actually have gotten sunburned before because I used to play basketball outdoors all day. I didn't know I could get sunburned either. And it wasn't every day. It happened like once or twice in my whole life, but I was so shocked because I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, is my skin peeling? Am I not a Negro?
Right. What is this flaky shit?
Yeah. And that was the day I started voting Republican. Because I said, no. Fuck it. Why? I give up. Okay. Mm. I had one thing in life and God took it away.
No, don't let the sun beat the blackness out of you. No. Mm-mm.
That's what I said. Not me. Okay, he's your president too.
Do I need to go have a fight with the sun then? What's happening here?
You say you won't even go outside because you're gonna sunburn, so no, I don't want you to fight. Lakita says, per the poll, I was never mad at her because you have to care to be mad. I don't. I think it's sad that she hates her blackness, but I was never completely sure of her race in the first place. All I ever knew about her was moo and thought it was cute. I guess I understand people are disappointed, but you have to be invested to be disappointed. I just never was.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'm not gonna front. You're almost never gonna catch me in any poll or any situation saying I'm mad at a celebrity because they have to do some really egregious shit for me to be upset. And for the most part, I refuse to invest in a nigga like this, man. Like, I don't know these niggas.
Mm-mm.
Like, what? There are people in real life that you think you know and some shit happened and you go, oops, I guess I didn't know them. Hey, I'm about to invest in a fucking celebrity? Are you crazy? I don't think so. Mm-mm. I refuse. The ghetto. All right, we did get some voicemail, one voicemail from my girl Allegra. Let's play that. And we'll get into it.
Hi, Ron and Karen. It's Allegra. Just real quick, I was listening to your feedback, show, and, you're talking about Joe Biden. I think it was your feedback show, and you're talking about Joe Biden. Maybe it wasn't. Anyway, you're talking about the, interview that Joe Biden had on the Breakfast Club. And you were talking about how, you guys were pretty much voting for whomever. And I'm right there with you, voting for whomever. And another thing that occurred to me, which is the reason why I'm calling, is that we as black people, have always had to vote for the quote-unquote lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm.
We've always had to be fairly savvy about who is going to be as close to what we want
mm-hmm.
as they can be. Since we had the right to fucking vote, because guess what? No one has ever really been 100% or even 50% for us. So we always have to vote for the better of two evils, quote, end quote. It's very frustrating. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. Love you guys. Bye.
You too. Thank you, Allegra.
Thank you.
Yeah. First of all, the phone line is 704-557-0186 is the voicemail line. You can leave them throughout the week. Make sure they're 2 minutes or less, because it does cut your ass off. Secondly, yes, the only time I believe black people in this country have voted for somebody without feeling that level of like hesitation or distrust in mass, I'm sure there were some, but for the vast majority of them, it's Barack Obama twice.
Mm-hmm.
Every other time we've either not had the right to vote, or we had to vote for somebody who we were like, this is a compromise at best. And I would even say for Obama, to a lot of us, it was a compromise too, because you're talking about a guy who was multiracial, biracial, and also had to like explain things from a both sides point of view
mm-hmm.
when it came to race. It was his superpower. It's why he got elected. No other nigga could got that job, especially not the first. You know, it's like Jackie Robinson. He wasn't gonna get that job being some outspoken fucking militant black man. But that being said, I like these motherfuckers sound like, when I hear white people complain about not getting any perfect candidate, not being able to vote for Bernie and shit, I just laugh, because I'm like, you've never not had the things you wanted.
Right.
That's why you think you can just sit out and shit, because you didn't get the guy. You know what I mean? You can play like that. And I think a lot of these black people that try to emulate them are essentially talking themselves into the same stupid ass mentality. Like, those people are not my allies, my help, my co-conspirators, my nothing. Those people that would look me in my face and say, well, I'll just do 4 more years of Trump, then you don't fuck with me. Don't act like we friends. Don't act like we cool. Keep my name out of your fucking mouth and don't come around me. And I feel the same way with like black. You don't get a pass for being black and stupid. You still stupid. Like, don't come around me with that stupid shit. Like, stupid is stupid. You know, it's like, if I drive a car off a bridge, but I'm black, it's smart. No, it's still a dumb thing to do. Like, I'd rather be alive and complaining the next 4 years than fucking dead because we elected a fucking idiot like Trump twice.
Come on.
If we make it to November. If we make it. And if he does the right thing after November. And if we win. So it's like a lot of ifs out there, man. But yeah, I think it's just really weird to see people try to act like that shit is like they new to this. You know what I mean? And now I don't feel bad about saying that, because honestly, when you're talking about one human being the face of the government,
right,
only a fucking idiot would think they're gonna agree with everything they do. I don't agree with everything anyone does.
Mm-mm.
And I'm including myself. I can't even agree with what I do all the time. How the fuck am I gonna do that with a fucking politician? That's crazy talk. You sound crazy. So yeah, that's never even been on the table as a fucking thing for me. If I don't agree with everything, I'm just gonna sit it out. Okay, well then just keep sitting. All right, we had emails. Karen, I'm sorry, do you have anything to add to that before I move on?
Mm-mm.
All right. TheBlackGuyWhoTips@gmail.com. TheBlackGuyWhoTips@gmail.com is our email address. We had three of them. Mary writes in, hi, Rod and Karen. Just a note to say that I love the Facebook Live cooking segments.
Yay!
Rod, I don't cook, but I find cooking shows so comforting and relaxing. I've blown through 12 seasons of Top Chef, the British cooking shows, and a couple others on Food Network. So imagine my delight that I have a new show to look forward to. I put you on while I work and it's just nice. No pressure, of course, to continue as I know it's worked for you, but I just wanted to say I appreciated it. Glad you two are safe. Love, Mary. Oh,
it is really, really relaxing.
Oh yeah, so for those that don't know, listen to this. I basically we had a Hello Fresh Meals and sometimes, you know, my own meals and stuff, but I've been cooking a lot lately for the last year or so. It kind of started as, you know, I'm working from home. Karen was going into work, mm-hmm. and I was like, let me cook her lunch whenever we can, at least two or three times a week, mm-hmm. at least. And, you know, I was more busy. Obviously, I was going to play basketball and all this other shit, but I don't know how, but I really kept that habit up. Like,
yeah, it's something you enjoyed doing, and I've seen you grow over time, and something that, I guess for me, over my years of cooking, and I didn't learn how to cook until I was adult, but from over my years of cooking, I could tell that you felt very comfortable with cooking when you started branching off, be like, oh, I'm going to make my own stuff. Like, I'm going to buy the meat and then figure out what I'm going to do with it, because that happens a lot. That's why people like buy a bunch of chicken and then be like, well, I'm going to do this with it and this with it and this with it. Like, you know, you're allowed to be creative. That's when I was like, okay, he's very comfortable now.
Yeah, so we were doing HelloFresh, but Karen was making them at first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we had Blue Apron and all this stuff. And what would happen, we would do the podcast. And then while I was editing everything, getting it up, Karen would go in there and like normally cook and whatever. And then, you know, I was just thinking to myself, like, you know, Karen already works all day. And then even though we do the show together, that's still work. And then after that, she's cooking. That's crazy. So, you know, I was like, I'm just going to cook. So I just started cooking every day. And especially because I was home then. Like before, it didn't really matter because either we were both at work.
Right.
So, you know, if she wanted to cook while I worked on the podcast stuff, that, you know, it's like, well, we're still both putting 8 hours and mm-hmm. this is just splitting shit at home, you know.
Correct.
Same way I fold clothes and normally do the dishes and all that stuff back in the, you know, back then. But now that I was home, I was like, I'm just gonna, you know, the person at home should be doing more at the house. You know, I'm still not a great housekeeper, but I try to do more now that I'm at home.
I absolutely love it. I do. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. You actually do a lot.
So you know, and then also like it helped me to like start thinking about the house more. So mm-hmm. you know, like I bought things to like clean the toilets and not toilets the well we did but also the tub and mm-hmm. get the mildew and all that stuff, you know. So you just start thinking more because you're home more and shit,
right?
And you're doing more of this work. So anyway, all that stuff to say, cooking was one of those things. And so with us all being stuck at home now,
right?
Because that was the other thing. Even when Karen got a different job and she wasn't able to come home and eat her lunch with me every day, I was like, well, I'll just cook lunch and then you can bring it to your job the next day, so right. you don't have to like spend money or go out unless you want to.
Correct.
And so you know, that was cool, and I would take pictures of it and post it on Facebook and Instagram and stuff, and that actually helped motivate me to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I would branch out and start making my own stuff, coming up with different meals, different recipes. And so when this pandemic thing hit, it almost like I was already ready, because I was like, okay, I'm already making 3 meals. I moved it up to like 4 meals
right.
at home every week. And then plus if I go to the store and I buy something and hook it up and make something out of that. So, you know, now I got a lot more skills and stuff. So I started trying to do Instagram Live, but it just is not good. Mm-hmm. It's not a good platform. It's you can't not. Turn the phone sideways.
It's very clunky.
And then also I was trying to understand the whole Instagram Live thing and the you know, like, what's the point of doing it. I didn't understand that because I'm just an old fuddy-duddy, but me and Justin and Karen have talked about it on pregame and stuff, and so I was like, all right, the whole time I was thinking of what am I going to do with this creatively, not just like, I don't want to just be like Cardi B talking to the phone. Not just, there's anything wrong with that, but I just can't see that being a thing for me.
But yeah, like that's her thing. Like, that's what she does.
I can't see that being my thing. I don't want to just imitate her. So I was like, yo, I'm just going to cook and then people can see, hang out with me while I cook. And, you know, so now, during the middle of the day, during the week, sometimes on Facebook, I'll go live and people like come and leave comments and, watch me cook, and I play a little bit of music, normally something that's not gonna get flagged. So it's been De La Soul lately, Childish Gambino's royalty album, stuff that's not on there for them to match up and try to take it down anyway. And yeah, people come and watch, and when I have breaks into action, I'll come and look at the comments and talk with people. Lately we've been talking a little bit about the things of the day, so we talked about, you know, what are you doing for your mental health this weekend as black people to deal with all this shit going on with this pandemic and these riots and all this black death we keep watching. And so we talk about that, you know. Other times we talk about like some stupid shit some celebrity said or something like that, you know. They ask questions about me cooking, about the kitchen. Karen's was really instrumental because she, after I did it the first time, I guess she felt embarrassed, so she cleaned up the kitchen by getting all the appliances that I've been asking for years. I was like, we don't need all these appliances, it's really taking up space on the counter. And she just didn't care. She's like, nope, more appliances please. I was like, we don't use any of this shit and it's just clunky and it's in my way when I'm cooking. She didn't care. But then when I put it on camera, for some reason I just looked up one day and she was just in the kitchen cleaning super fucking hard. Everything in there is spotless now. And on top of being spotless, everything is decluttered. And I didn't want to move out of, even though I'm in the kitchen more now, I didn't want to move out of stuff because some of that's her stuff. So I didn't want to be like, get this mixer out of here or whatever. Cause then she'll be like, what'd you do with the mixer?
You're right.
I'm like, we use the mixer one time or three every 5 years. It's no need to have this mixer. Anyway, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. So, I know you're talking about me. That's good.
Now it's like a really neat space. It looks neater. And also I don't really care about impressing all these niggas anyway. So it's not like I'm doing this to audition for the Food Network, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, so.
It was just a mental thing. I think I see you do it the first time and I started looking around. I kept saying, oh my gosh, look at what's happening in there. So sorry. That was just me mentally.
I appreciate the extra space now. This is what I wanted anyway. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I keep thinking about some more stuff, but yes, go ahead.
And then, what was the other thing? And then also I already had like aprons and chef hat that I got. Chef hat came with my knife. And I got these aprons on sale from this website that was like, I got it almost as a goof, but it was like aprons for women. I forget, I think it's called fancyaprons.com or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
aprons are so cute.
I was like, these are some good aprons and they got some good sales. And I was like, I'm in the kitchen anyway. So before, you know, when I would cook for Karen, she'd come out for lunch. Sometimes I'd just be wearing the apron and cooking. And you know, it was like kind of a funny thing, but also, you know, aprons are really good in the kitchen and keep stains off of you and shit.
Especially got pocket stick shit in it, yes.
So, well, these don't have pockets, but anyway, so, so then I was like, oh yeah, I'll put the apron and the hat on and I'll just get in there and cook and listen to music and do what I normally do. The only difference is normally when I'm not filming myself, I listen to podcasts instead of music. Mm-hmm. So that might become the background. I don't know. But yeah, man, I'm glad you guys enjoy it is my point. Simone says, hey, Rod and Karen, I hope you all continue to stay safe and mentally healthy. This has been a tough week, and if there was no quarantine and coronavirus, I could go see my loved ones, and it might be easier to disconnect from the pain of the news. I've been up most of the night, and I just realized it's Saturday, and I hopefully get to listen live, and made me smile a little. I've been listening since TWIP, and I'll admit that I didn't listen to the Saturday episodes at first because I was new and I didn't know any better, but eventually I ended up not skipping during a long drive and I loved it. Feedback episodes are what makes the Blackout Tips feel like a community. Sometimes I learn from other listeners, and other times I hear that people had the same thoughts and cackle just like I did at one of Karen's puns or jokes. Karen, you really are hilarious, and I love when you catch Rod off guard and he lets out that good loud belly laugh right along with us. I also love watching the cooking lives on Facebook, soothing while I work. Man, so they're a hit.
Yes.
But I can't. Well, you know what? I shouldn't even be surprised that they're a hit, because I thought about that.
Yeah, you
I
did.
Really
you
did. Like, people were just like, go live and just do anything. I was like, I know what y'all are saying, but no, that's just too fucking, like, easy and chaotic, and it's not that there's nothing wrong, it's not special, it's not different, you know, like you want to fill in a lane that's just a little bit different than what everybody else is doing or expecting, you know. So that was a big thing for me, you know. But yeah, I can't comment because we aren't Facebook friends. I mean, I guess request me, or I guess send me a message. I mean you seem pretty cool, Simone, so just email me your Facebook name or something. I'll request you if you want. I should also probably be focused on working. Okay, I'm tired and I feel like I'm rambling. Of course, you know you can take a break whenever you need the rest, but I'm grateful for the content, discussions. I missed Ray Sonny, and that was a great episode. And much needed reprieve from hashtag American season finale. American season finale. I'm also premium and will never really be caught up anyway. Continue to wash your hands, play video games, or whatever you need to do. Take care of yourselves and each other. Love y'all. Simone Sim Simma. Oh, Sim Simma, I know you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Charnell writes in, hi y'all, hope y'all are doing self-care this week, because last season of America is a shit show. Everybody calling it that, huh? Anyways, I just lurked on Twitter, as a girl is known to do at times, and I noticed that we really as a people allow white liberals and Killer Mike to convince us that Bernie Sanders is for the people, when he's just tweeting through this mess when both Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren are out here saying Black Lives Matter and saying the victims' names. Yo, Kamala Harris, from my understanding today, because I was on Three Guys On, which you guys will hear next week, but Randolph was saying live during our show, Kamala Harris was out at the White House with the protesters protesting Donald Trump. So listen, with what Klobuchar just had happen in her state, I feel like Kamala might be sliding into that high seed on the VP list. I'm not saying that Bernie can't be a good candidate at all, but maybe we need to find a black face picture like we did with Northam, because he ain't even saying nothing. Something. Stay safe and saying y'all. Yeah, I haven't followed to check what Bernie has tweeted or whatever. Hopefully he said something. I find it hard to imagine he hasn't said anything on Twitter. That would be really surprising if he hasn't said anything, but, okay, 2 hours ago, he tweeted a Martin Luther King, like, video or something. George Floyd's murder is not only an outrage, it's the latest manifestation of a system that callously devalues the lives of black people. Our struggle is and always has been about justice, not justice on paper, but real justice in the real lives of real people. Okay, yeah, I mean, that's good, you know? And I guess before that, he, yesterday, he had a video. Yeah. I don't have no problems with what he be talking about, man. I think that's the thing. I don't expect much out of him.
Mm-mm.
A lot of them just oversold what he was.
Right.
Like he was and it's because of their perfectionism need. Like, but it's the thing I was talking about with the stan culture. Because you like Bernie, you now retroactively have to make him perfect and defend him from all critiques. That's not how this shit should work.
Mm-mm.
I always like the people who are more real about, yes, my candidate has some shortcomings, but I fuck with them. That person will always have my heart. Because right. That person is honest. As opposed to trying to trick me like they're gonna do some type of fucking psychology on me and make me not see these flaws. All of them are flawed.
All of them.
You know, there wasn't a candidate that ran that made me be like, this motherfucker right here, it has no holes. Like, no, every Elizabeth Warren had the Native American thing. And I know she used to be a Republican. I don't care as much about either of those as far as like disqualifying, but I understand those are critiques, you know, that some people won't fuck with her off of. Kamala Harris, people gonna look at her time as an AD and any fucking shortcoming within that is gonna be fair game. Klobuchar also, was a prosecutor or whatever. Joe Biden, 94 crime bill. Bernie Sanders, 94 crime bill. There's all of them. Pete Buttigieg, his police department scandal shit. Who else was in this motherfucking race? There was so many. Cory Booker, corny. That you guys know, that's the only disqualifying a black person needs. The other black dude got in the race too late. Can't even remember his name.
Mm-mm.
Like they all got some shit, man. They all got some shit. So. Yeah, the people that are willing to be like, yeah, they got some shit, but please check out they views on this, that, and the other. I like those people better.
Agreed.
All right, that's it, guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Karen, that's it. That's the episode. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate y'all. We'll be back. I don't know if we'll do all 5 episodes this week or not, because I am, you know, wondering if I'll take a break or some shit. Some of the shit I'm not looking forward to talking about. But I would say probably we'll do all 5 episodes, so we'll probably be back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I got some more people that I'm reaching out to be guests, but yay! next week might be more just me and Karen, so we'll see about that. So that's it. So until next time, I love you and thank you for cleaning up the kitchen and everything you do around here. I also noticed you've been doing the dishes a lot more lately. I don't know why, because I was doing all them dishes. You didn't have to. But I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, because my thing is, I considered, like, hey, if you're going to be cooking and doing a live show, I want to make it as seamlessly easy as possible. Mm-hmm. And so me doing that helps. It helps you.
So all I had to do to get all this was just start going live from the kitchen. So I'm about to go live from the living room, the bathroom.
You really trying to get me to clean this bitch up, ain't you?
Mm-hmm. We gonna do live sex from now on. We going OnlyFans,
no.
Okay?
No.
It's time to see the freak flag fly up in this piece, okay?
No.
I didn't know I could get all this extra service.
I mean, if we going
put the cameras on.
If we going OnlyFans, they gonna pay for that shit. And it's gonna be separate from premium. Premium don't count. It's an extra fee.
All right, y'all. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.